Hey guys, it's Vinny B. Raider Nation In the Huddle is all about giving our fans the best opportunities in life. TAT is a new product that allows smokers to enjoy the sensations of smoking with zero tobacco and zero nicotine content. Finally, a cigarette you could feel good about, similar to Raider Nation rituals of winning championships. TAT offers the beyond nicotine experience with its beyond tobacco-based material in taste, smell, touch, sight, and sound without nicotine or tobacco. TAT offers a better option to completely remove nicotine intake without compromising the smoking experience. TAT, beyond tobacco. Raider Nation, get your free pack of TAT today at TriTAT.com.
Broadcasting live from the RNR studios in Las Vegas, Nevada, it's the premier destination for an inside look into the Las Vegas Raiders. You're in the Huddle with Vinny Bonsignor, presented by Tequila Embajador.
Getting hot and heavy up here at our studios. Raider Nation Radio 920 AM on a Monday. You're in the Huddle with Vinny Bonsignor, brought to you by Tequila Embajador. But you all know that it's always love, and we're always just having fun up here. And you know what? There's the people have strong opinions, and I have strong opinions. Damon has strong opinions. The callers have strong opinions, and it's all good. I think that what I think has been proven over these last 2 weeks more than anything is that our instincts were correct about this Raiders team and the character of this team and the mental fortitude of this team and the talent, frankly, of this team, that they were able to withstand, you know, what they withstood to go on and be able to prove some people wrong. I think everyone sort of figured that this was going to be a face plant for the Raiders because the Raiders in past years just haven't been able to deal with controversy or strife or adversity. And yet they've completely turned that narrative around. We're going to go out to the Raider Nation guest line and welcome in my good friend, Sam Gordon from the Las Vegas Review Journal. Sam, how are you doing, my friend?
What's up, Vinny? Doing well. How you doing?
Doing very good. Sam, if you could put a finger on what's made these last 2 weeks as complete a two-week performance that the Raiders have had in a long, long time, what would it be?
Yeah, I just think, coaches and players always talk, all three phases, right? It's important to get contributions in all three phases, I mean, we've heard it a zillion times covering football, and the Raiders have really done that the last couple weeks. They've been able to put it together in all three phases. The pass rush against Denver and, of course, yesterday against Philadelphia was effective in making the quarterbacks uncomfortable and generating turnovers and being able to create momentum and game-changing plays. Offensively, Derek Carr is playing as good as anybody in the NFL leading that offense. I really like the approach that Greg Olsen has taken in terms of the play calling, where they're allowing Derek Carr to carry this offense. There's no more of this establishing the run. The run game will come when they need it to, like it has the past couple weeks. It's about letting your quarterback, who's playing at, a top five kind of level, right, who's grossing MVP caliber play, let him do his thing and then build the running game off there. I felt like that was the approach the last couple weeks, and then in special teams too. I mean, you're getting great field position. I saw a stat, I think, earlier today that the average starting position, field position, is from the 36-yard line the last couple games, where at the beginning of the season, it was at the 25-yard line. So you're getting 10 extra yards where you're starting, the field position where you're starting. I thought the Raiders, I mean, look, Philadelphia came out yesterday with a surprise onside kick. The Raiders were ready for it. They got the ball right away. It set up a short field, and they executed and scored a touchdown. So everything really seems to be clicking right now. And like you said, it's as complete a performance as we've seen. I thought yesterday, Vinny, frankly, was as dominant of an outing. I know the final score is 33-22. And the same thing can almost be said for the Denver game as well. These are two of as dominant of performances as we've seen from the Raiders since they've come to Las Vegas, frankly. And it's a credit to, of course, Rich Bisaccia, for understanding the pulse and the temperature of his locker room, understanding where guys are at, not being too high, not being too low, and allowing leaders to lead, allowing Derek Carr, Max Crosby, Darren Waller, the leaders, the veterans in this locker room that have been through adversity on and off the field, to use their voice and establish some sense of calm. And to have these two kind of performances the way that they've had, I think it's huge. I think it's huge. It shows a lot about the mental fabric of this team. I was super impressed when they did it last week against Denver. It's like, okay, they did it once. Can they do it again? And they did. And it feels like, again, we talked at length about how last year, especially, this is a young football team that needed to mature. And we've seen the maturation process play out throughout the last year and a half, and it's really played out under the microscope with the adversity that the Raiders have experienced, given the unprecedented situation that involved their former head coach. So you're seeing the intangibles that this football team has coming to light, and they're making the tangibles. They're augmenting the tangibles to even more than they were already augmented before.
Well, let's start with the defense. And for the second straight game, the Raiders' defense gave up a first quarter, first possession touchdown, first to the Broncos and then yesterday to the Eagles. But that was all she wrote until the third quarter. And in each case, by the time the other team scored again on this Raiders' defense, the Raiders' offense had created ample space between themselves and their opponent. I think it was 24-7 by the time the Broncos scored again in the third quarter, and then yesterday 30-7 before the Eagles scored points again. That's what good defenses do. It's not just stopping people at the end of games. It's during the course of a game, getting your offense the ball in good, you know, field position situations, turning it over, making stops, getting the ball to the offense in order for them to do their thing. When was the last time you've seen this with a Raider defense, and do you expect it to keep up?
Oh, geez, Vinny. I was a kid probably the last time the Raiders had a defense this good. I'm thinking back to the Bill Romanowski days, you know. It's been a really long time.
Yeah.
Even that 2016 season, Vinny, where the Raiders won the AFC West, I mean, it was an opportunistic defense, and it was obviously you can't go 12-4 without having a pulse on defense. They had Khalil Mack, of course, at the time, and a number of playmakers. But this defense seems to just be a little bit more cohesive at all three levels. You have the secondary playing off of the defensive line. You have depth on the defensive line. You're generating a pass rush on a regular basis. And as a result of that, I think it makes the jobs of the linebackers, of the safeties, of the corners, of everybody else a lot easier. It's really a solid unit all the way around. You look back at last year's defense and it was hard to find any strengths, and you look at this year's defense and like, what are the weaknesses? So of course, look, the run defense has been a little bit of an issue. We understand that, but nobody's saying they're the 85 Bears. They're just a very solid unit in all three phases. They tackle well. For the most part, they generate pressure, they're flocking to the ball, and there seems to be a joy that this unit has been playing with. It seems like football is fun for this defense, and that the offense is in turn feeding off that as well. What this defense is doing, creating better field position, creating opportunities. I thought the forced fumble, Vinny, we go back to yesterday, the forced fumble right before the half when Jefferson's able to shed that block, punch the ball out, and Jonathan Abrams is able to get able to recover from the fumble. That's a huge play. That just not only does it get the Raiders three more points, but it prevents Philadelphia from establishing any kind of momentum. You're not going into that. You're making sure, look, Philadelphia is not feeling good at all about anything they're doing coming out of this half. The Raiders knew they'd get the ball, and as a result, because maybe of how that happened, Philadelphia gets a little desperate and tries an onside kick that sets the Raiders up with an even shorter field. So it's all working together right now, and this defense, like we talked about, it was a bottom three unit scoring last year, 29.9 points per game. That's what they allowed on average. They've yet to allow that this season in a single game at all. So if you want to talk about improvement, it's there. And for me, I think the core, the root of the heart of any good defense is what they're doing up front and how they're affecting the passer. And even though they only had two sacks, and I say only because they had five the week before and have had three multiple times this year, even though they only had two sacks, I don't think that number is quite indicative of how they were able to affect Jalen Hurts, getting him out of the pocket, forcing him to throw on the move a little bit, making sure he was never really able to set his feet and get comfortable or even survey the landscape down the field for those running lanes. You know, if he has time back there, he's able to see a running lane open up and emerge, and he's able to take off, and he's a dynamic playmaker when he's able to do that. And there wasn't a lot of those opportunities. He made a handful of plays with his legs, but he didn't really beat them like that, because the Raiders were able, I thought, to consistently at least disrupt the pocket and disrupt what he wanted to do. So it's an impressive unit for sure. It's been very, very solid, and it's balancing out what the offense is doing and how Derek Carr and those guys are playing on the offensive side of the ball.
Talking to Las Vegas Review-Journal writer, Sam Gordon, my teammate over at the Review-Journal. You can download our app, Vegas Nation, or just go to vegasnation.com to access all the work that we do, and it's everything from written work to photo essays. podcasts, videos, the whole nine yards. We got you covered from wall to wall in terms of Raiders coverage. Back to the offense, though, and you know, some interesting things coming out about the influence that Derek Carr has had over these last couple of weeks, kind of stepping up into that void, that leadership void, and understanding, you know, and he brought this up yesterday, Sam, about, you know, a guy like John Gruden, you know, he commands a room. I mean, all eyes are on him. He's just, that's kind of how he rolls. And when that exits the building, there's going to be a void. And intuitively, Derek Carr understood and said to himself, I got to do something. I got to step it up a little bit in that regard. And he's certainly done that. And here's the trick to it all. Number one, you can't just decide that you're going to do it unless you have the respect from your peers to begin with. Otherwise, it's just like, okay, you know, loud mouths talking, and it's in one ear and out the other. There has to be a willing ear on the other end to receive what leadership somebody is trying to give. And I just feel like where Derek is in his career and the respect that he has amongst his peers, many of whom, there's a lot of leadership type players in there, and I know a lot of them are pitching in that regard. But there's a lot of respect that's from Derek Carr to his teammates and his teammates to him, and it just seems to be working really well right now.
110%. And we'll be succinct here, but let's take a look at Derek Carr's career trajectory, right? He's the longest tenured member of this franchise. He's been around since 2014. And what's happened since 2014, Vinny? Coaching change after coaching change after coaching change. And winning and losing and a lot of losing and a lot of losing. And then you're 12-4 and you're really good and having an MVP caliber season. And then he gets hurt right before the playoffs. And then you go back to losing. And then John Gruden comes in and you're building and building. Point being, he's seen it all. He's seen it all throughout his franchise, throughout his tenure with the franchise. The last thing that he's had since he's been with the Raiders, beginning in 2014, is stability. He's been the only thing stable about his time with the Raiders is the instability. And for him to continue to improve, to continue to remain professional, to continue to elevate his level of play, to take his game to another level, as we saw in 2020, and now as we're seeing in 2021. But I don't know about you, this is the best I've ever seen Derek Carr play. The way he played yesterday, 31-34, accuracy, I mean, getting the ball out, quick decisions, on point. There's a pace to the offense. And it's not just this game. It's the Baltimore game. It's the game in Denver. It's the game against Pittsburgh. I mean, he's throwing the ball down the field. He's accurate short. He's accurate intermediate. He's giving his receivers chances to make plays on the ball. He's trusting his playmakers. He's backing up everything that I presume he's saying behind closed doors. And he's been backing that up throughout the course of his career. Here's a guy that's remained professional, stayed even keel. He could have asked to get out of here. He could have tried to bail, and he would have been well within his rights. I mean, 10 years, your NFL career is super short, and we're starting to see now guys are taking more control of their career, as they should. And Derek Carr opted not to do that. He wanted to stick this thing out. He's talked at length publicly, I'm sure privately as well, about how much pride he represents the Raiders with and what it means for him to be a part of the franchise. And we're really seeing that come to light. And he's backing it up with his play, and he's earned credibility throughout his time with the franchise because he's seen it all. He really has. He's gone through so many ups and downs during his time as a member of the Las Vegas Raiders, you know, formerly of the Oakland Raiders, and it's starting to show. When you have that kind of perspective, when you've seen disaster, when you've experienced winning, when you've experienced injury, when you've had that kind of adversity, it builds character, it builds leadership. Sometimes. Other times, you know, you can go the other way. When he went, he built and grew from all this, and you're seeing it play out on the field through his play and through his leadership. It's a testament to him and the way he's approached being a professional throughout the course of his career.
You can follow him at By Sam Gordon. He is Sam Gordon from the Las Vegas Review-Journal. Okay, I want to take you to about 11:35 or so yesterday when the injury report came out, or the inactive list came out, and we knew officially that Darren Waller was not going to play. At that very moment, what was your level of uh-oh for the Raiders? And then how quickly did it turn to, you know what, there's ample weaponry on this team to overcome even a massive blow like that?
Yeah, I mean, I think there's naturally a little bit of concern. You're going to have to make some adjustments. And Darren Waller, regardless of if he's producing like he did on that Monday night game against the Ravens, where he was up over 100 yards and it was getting open left and right, and Derek Carr was honed in on him, or whether he has, you know, 3 catches for 30 yards or 4 catches for 50 yards, whatever he's doing, he's so dynamic, he's so big, strong, and fast, and he's such a matchup problem that he's going to be a focal point of opposing game plans. And without him, the coverage changes, and the defense can put more of a focus on Henry Ruggs, on Brian Edwards, on Hunter Renfrow. What we saw yesterday, though, I thought the offense will find a way, and because of the emergence and growth that we've seen from those guys, and we saw a play out yesterday, and I think what we saw was Derek Carr really spread the ball around. I mean, I think it was what, seven receivers with at least three receptions or something like that. He was focused. He was dialed in, and the game plan I thought was precise. It was a tremendous game plan. Look, short drops, quick throws, get the ball in the hands of the playmakers right away, and let them do their thing after the catch. And when Waller's in the game, obviously he's such a vertical threat, even from that tight end position, that you might want to let some of those route combinations develop. But the short passing game was super effective, and it speaks to the development of some of these young receivers. I think, you know, without Darren Waller, they were very, very, very effective. Again, over 300 yards. We know the completion percentage, the accuracy. That was against a secondary, Vinny, a defense that was in the top six or seven in terms of fewest passing yards per game. I mean, Tom Brady and the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, that to me is as good as any offense and any complement of skill position players that we have in the NFL right now. Brady didn't exactly carve up that defense the way Derek Carr did. So those young receivers are continuing to grow, and with Darren Waller in the mix, I think it's one of the better receiving cores in the league. You have guys that complement one another. You have Waller who can do everything. Edwards has tremendous ball skills, and you're seeing his speed down the field start to emerge. Hunter Renfrow has emerged as good of a slot receiver as there is in the league, regardless of what the statistics say or what the volume of what the targets are. He's good to make plays. He knows how to get open. He has a way of getting open, and him and Carr have great chemistry, and Ruggs continues to improve as well. I know he didn't have the biggest game yesterday, but we've seen it throughout the course of the year. We see him getting down the field. We see him elevating over very good defensive backs and making plays in traffic. And I thought yesterday was an excellent showcase for Foster Moreau. He's a guy, as we've heard, you know, out down at the facility when players do their press conferences. They've had a lot of love for Foster Moreau the last couple of years. We just haven't necessarily seen it play out. But he had an opportunity yesterday to fill in for Darren Waller and was impressive with his play. And, of course, elevating over a defensive back to make a very, very tough touchdown catch in the end zone. So this receiving core is much deeper. I mean, we knew it was deeper. It was really tested yesterday. And I was impressed with the way those guys responded. I was impressed with the way the coaching staff sought to spread the ball around. Look, yes, there's no Darren Waller, but that means there's not just one guy that can beat you, one guy you're focused on. You got to focus on everybody, and Derek Carr took advantage of that. So did his receivers.
All right, so we've seen what the Raiders can do these last 2 weeks. I feel like that Denver game, they kind of created a baseline for themselves. Yeah, you're not always going to play to that level, but to me, there's no reason for them to play far off of that level. And I think they responded by playing as good, if not better, actually, than the Philadelphia Eagles a week later. So back-to-back, you know, really complete, efficient performances for these Raiders. The key now, obviously, is pushing it forward and moving it forward. And, you know, the Raiders have been in positions over the last few years where it looked good and it looked like they may be perched for a postseason run. But then very soon after, it just, like a deck of cards, or like a house of cards, it sometimes falls apart. I think that the pieces are in place to help ensure that doesn't happen. But obviously, we still have to wait and see if that's the case. But from where you're sitting, Sam Gordon, if you can project a little bit forward, do you feel like the Raiders are going to be able to avoid some of what's happened these last couple of years because of how they're built right now, especially with this defense?
Yeah. I just think the roster is so much better, particularly on that defensive side of the ball. Now you have a defense where, hey, there are going to be games, right? As good as the Raiders looked offensively yesterday, there's going to be games where not everything is clicking like that. That's just the nature of the National Football League. Other teams are well coached. Other teams have great players, and those great coaches and great players are going to make plays and are going to challenge the Raiders specifically on the offensive side. But now you have a defense that, at the very least, you know, can create turnovers and can keep you in the game when the offense isn't clicking. So with having that, especially down the stretch in late November, in December, when you're going to get some of those cold weather games, when you have to go to Cleveland, when you have to go to Dallas, not necessarily a cold weather game, but when you have to play on a big stage in Thanksgiving, you have a roster equipped to handle those kind of situations. And on top of that, like I said, the character of this football team has been tested. There's no question about that. You would think that this group has learned something from the collapses of the last couple of years and can point to some things that went wrong. And now you got a new voice leading it. You know, maybe Rich Bisaccia, certainly with going starting out 2-0 during his tenure as the interim coach, has bought a little credibility within that locker room. And it sounds like he already had a lot to begin with, but now there's a belief in what he's, you know, even more of a belief in what he's doing and the way he's leading this team. So maybe having him at the helm, you know, changes things as well. It's not the same team as last year. It's not the same voice that you're hearing. It's not the same. It's not the same leader. So now that the leadership is a little different, the hierarchy and the structure is a little different, along with having a better roster and having the experience, knowing, look, there's a lot of winnable games on this schedule, and they're right there. I mean, tied for the best record in the AFC right now, with number two seed. If the season ended today, Mike Mayock came out and said this should be a playoff team, and right now they look the part, even with the adversity they face. So I think to summarize, the roster's better. And this is a more experienced team. You have Casey Hayward now. You have Solomon Thomas. You have Yannick Ngakoue, guys that have played deep into January, February, big-time, meaningful football games. This roster is flush full of them now in a way that it wasn't last year. And in addition to the leaders in-house that you had, the Derek Carrs, the Darren Wallers, the Max Crosbys of the world, you have veterans from outside now that can continue to add some perspective to what they want to do. And, like you said, we have to see. But with a better roster, more intangibles, it seems less likely that that's going to happen.
Man, if the Raiders can stay the course along with the Dallas Cowboys, how big of a game would that be on Thanksgiving Day? Raiders against the Cowboys? Are you kidding me, Sam?
Yeah. I mean, no doubt about it. Two of the league's biggest brands, two of the top five or six for sure. Dallas definitely being up there, and of course the Raiders up there too. And look at the way the schedule is, Vinny. Going to the Giants, that's a game they're going to be favored in. The Chiefs are a total disaster right now. They look as bad as any team we saw at any point in the season yesterday, and you have them at home on Sunday Night Football. I don't think you can just guarantee that the Chiefs are going to flip the switch the way they have last year. There's something going on over there. And then a very good Cincinnati team. We have to credit Cincinnati, but that game's going to be at home. So it's setting up nicely for that to be a big-time game on Thanksgiving. I'm excited to see how everything shakes out. Of course, they have to earn their victories. Nothing's going to be given to them. We understand that. But this team is in prime position to make a playoff run, and I feel even stronger about that these last couple of weeks after seeing how they play than I did at the beginning of the season. There's no question about that.
Yep, I hear you, Sam. Thanks a lot. By the way, I'm not going to pat myself on the back, but if you go every week, I do a storylines feature that runs on Sundays, and I would say at least three times I've been mentioning the Cincinnati Bengals. I am bullish on the Cincinnati Bengals. So we'll see. That could be what looked to be at the beginning of the season as maybe a gimme or who cares kind of a game. All of a sudden, that takes on all kinds of new meanings. So we will see. Sam, thanks so much for spending some time with us in the huddle. You know I always appreciate you. Take care of yourself. We'll talk to you down the road, brother.
Anytime, any talk soon. Take it easy.
You got it. That was Sam Gordon from the Las Vegas Review-Journal. Again, if you want to read his stuff, my stuff, over at the RJ, just download the app, Vegas Nation, or go onto the computer, VegasNation.com. We got you covered, as do we here at Raider Nation Radio, without question. You're in the huddle with Vinny Bonsignore, brought to you by Tequila Embajador, Raider Nation Radio, 920 a.m. on a Monday.
Interact with the show. Text Vinny at 69187 or tweet at him at Vinny Bonsignore. This is In the Huddle with Raiders beat writer Vinny Bonsignore on Raider Nation Radio 920 AM.
Come on, what'd you bring in here? Was that Canes?
Yes, that was Raisin Canes.
See, I'm interviewing Sam, and all of a sudden, Damon leaves the studio for 1 second, which is all cool because we're doing an interview, so no calamity was going to happen. Then all of a sudden, he comes sneaking around the corner with some sort of food delivery. And then all of a sudden, the aroma just starts hitting me. I don't know if you guys have been to Canes, but good stuff. You know who hooked me up with my first Canes? Not hooked me up, but pointed me in that direction. Todd Gurley. We were in Jacksonville. The Rams were staying over Jacksonville for a week to go play in London the following week. So he's from the South. He went to high school in North Carolina, and he was loving it because he was back home. And so he was talking about, yeah, I get to hit up Canes. He was naming all the places that he would eat at as a kid. Canes among them. I'm like, Canes, what is it? He's like, he looked at me like, you know, He always would look at you like that sometimes if you asked a question that he deemed like, were you kidding me? Canes. So I looked it up, found it, and yeah, good stuff, Damon. But, you know, thanks for, you know, you didn't even ask. You probably texted one of your friends, and the next thing you know, this delivery comes, and now I'm hungry, Damon. Thank you very much for that.
Well, you know, it was delicious. You know what? You didn't ask.
I didn't know.
You didn't ask. Oh, I thought you just meant for like a strip or something. I would have given you a strip.
No. I'm not going to. No. I didn't mean that. Like the original order. Like, you know, hey, I'm going to make a, I'm going to have somebody make a Canes run. Do you want anything? You know, one of those. Just for man. Future reference.
You know, but you're on the air.
Where does Canes rank in your, because it's a good question, right? It's an interesting question. I don't think it's as good as everyone. It's not like the best, but it's pretty darn good. Where for you, Damon?
You know what? Canes being a very good sponsor around here, you know, I'm going to tread lightly because there have been situations in the past.
Uh-oh.
You disrespect Canes in here.
Oh.
On the LV Airways.
I didn't know.
You're going to know about it.
I didn't know. Well, it's tremendous. It's tremendous, Canes. If you're listening, I'm open to all sponsorship deals. You know, you can hit me up on Twitter or email me, you know, because I love Canes.
One of my favorite spots in Vegas, I will say that.
All right.
Yeah. You know, and that's true. It's one of those things where, to be honest, where I'm from in Tennessee, we didn't have Canes. So this was like a thing for me, like coming out here in high school, where it was just like, oh, Canes. And I was like, okay, yeah.
Oh, it's been around that long? I didn't realize it was not that you're old or anything like that. Oh, although somebody did refer to you Friday as a UNLV alum. No longer the graduate, just the a distinguished alum of UNLV. You've crossed that threshold, Damon.
Oh, man, you said Friday, and I was going to be like, oh, what did someone say about me?
No, it was all
someone
good.
Someone calling me old?
Well, older. It happens, Damon. So embrace it, man. Embrace it. By the way, you were quite entertaining on Saturday.
No need to get in the
air. Oh, it was all good. It was all good. We had a lot of fun over at the Rockstar Bar and Grill, right?
We had a great time. Some people were having a better time than others.
Yes. We won't disclose any names at the moment, but it was a lot of fun. We're going to go out to the Raider Nation.
Penny almost had me kidnapped.
I had nothing to do with that. I almost had to kidnap you to save you. That's what it really was. I was keeping close guard, Damon, of that situation. I was trying to stay on top of it so I didn't get you in trouble. But anyway, we'll just leave that one right there. Mark is in New Jersey. How are you doing, Mark?
I'm doing good, Vinny. Some of the callers before were talking about Gruden, and I'd like to comment on that real quick.
Okay.
We know John Gruden, no doubt, as a quarterback guru, and Derek Carr definitely, for sure, wouldn't be to the level he is right now in the way he's playing without him, obviously. But I think as a play caller, I think sometimes he's so high strung that he causes like a little stress on some of the offensive.
Very well put. Yep.
And so I think, you know, in the beginning part when we fell behind a lot is because there was just too much chatter going on, which I kind of think made Derek Carr a little nervous in the huddle, which kind of led to the slow starts, some of the miscues that we ended up having. Now with Greg Olsen, I think he's kind of slowed it down a little bit and maybe just got to play in earlier and let Derek do some of the, you know, adjustments on the line and kind of just let him take over. And so that's why I think you're seeing totally different. And if you notice, we're not trailing games anymore. We actually got a lead. And, you know, that's super important to me because our defense is better. And, you know, when you have a lead and you can get off the field, you know, you can give us short fields because we're getting turnovers. That's helping Derek out and helping our offense out. So that's a definite big plus. And that's my opinion on what I think is happening. And no disrespect to John Gruden because I love him. I think he's a great coach. But I think maybe, and I don't think he ever would have, if he would have just let Olsen call the plays and just let him oversee the offense, you know, and head coach the team, I think things would have been a little bit different. But, that's just my opinion. And then one other quick question, if you can kind of update us on the injury report and see if we can get some if we're planning on getting any guys back after the bye week.
Yeah, I appreciate the call, Mark. And I've told this story before. Rodney Pete, a friend of mine, a colleague back in Los Angeles, on the airwaves in L.A. You know, we've talked about John Gruden, and he had told me that when he was a quarterback in Philadelphia, when John Gruden was the offensive coordinator, he basically told Andy Reid, and mark my word, he loves John Gruden. Okay, but he also said that his demeanor on the sidelines, especially when he would come off the field, if things didn't go right or whatever the case might be, was a little bit too much for Rodney. And he basically told Andy Reid, please keep him up in the booth. I'll deal with it in my ear, you know, if he wants to call and all that. But, you know, it gets crazy on the sidelines. And you know, that was a much younger John Gruden, but you can imagine. And I agree with the high-strung thing. What did I say? Passion can be somebody's greatest strength, but it could also be a detriment, especially to those around you. And, you know, we may be seeing that. And I think the streamlined nature now of the offensive operation for the Raiders, where it goes from, you know, Greg Olsen, of course, he's getting suggestions from his assistants. You know, there's people up in the booth that are seeing things and they're giving the play caller suggestions. And then, you know, Greg makes the decision on the play into Derek Carr's ear hole and the communication system that's going on there. But talking to Derek last week, and I'm sure it continued this week because it even looked better this week, it's just streamlined, and he gets to play a little bit quicker with more time left on the clock and probably with a lot less volatility maybe. And then it just creates just a better situation for him and a less clouded situation with his mind, I'm sure, to go ahead and take it from there, because there is another step at the line of scrimmage. And, you know, you get two plays typically, and then it's your power as the quarterback in most cases, and certainly it is in Derek Carr's case, to then figure out based on what you're seeing from the defense, do we stay in this play? Do we check off to the next play? And I think you're seeing that emerge even more and more with Derek Carr. You saw it last year, and I can attest to that because you can hear him in the stadiums that we were at last year that didn't have fans because of COVID-19. You could literally, sitting up in the press box, on the open-ended press box, like at Allegiant Stadium, you could hear Derek Carr making the play calls at the line of scrimmage. It was kind of cool, actually. And you realize, wow, he's got a lot of leeway with this offense, and he's got a great command of this offense. And it's just a year more advanced this year, and I think, you know, the John Gruden dynamic taken out, and now it just being Derek Carr and Greg Olsen, I think you're seeing the benefits of that and what's changed as a result of that. We've seen more screen passes. We've seen more pass to set up the run. It's the more touches for everybody. They didn't blink when Darren Waller went out of the lineup yesterday. A couple of, you know, an hour or so before the game. No, you know, it was actually more longer than that. They understood probably early in the morning it wasn't looking good for Darren, but they didn't blink. They moved on, and they, you know, Foster Moreau stepped up, but the play calling reflected it, and it was seamless. So the key now, and we keep talking about it, is the Raiders have to keep this up. There's no excuse this year. Last year, you know, how many times did Lincoln Kennedy talk about, man, this offense has got to score 30 points to win any game, to have any chance to win any game? That's a tall order for an offense. You're starting to see that with the Kansas City Chiefs, because then you're rushing. Then you're, as a quarterback, you're trying to, you know, make plays and score 14 points on a play rather than the seven, because you have to make up space or deficits, or you know that you have to stay ahead of a couple steps ahead of the posse. Part of that posse being your own defense that continues to let you down. It's not conducive. And so that was kind of an excuse and a valid one for the Raiders last year. They lost three games on the final possession by their opponents where the offense left the field with the lead. That's on the defense. We've talked about it a million times. Well, it was a valid excuse last year, but this defense is too good this year. I don't expect that to be the case. So any kind of a similar fall off this year, man, I don't see it happening. I'm not saying they're going to win every game from this point forward, but I don't think you're going to see the monumental kind of collapses that they had. This team is just too good. You're in the huddle with Vinny Bonsignor, brought to you by Tequila and Bajador. Raider Nation Radio, 920 a.m. on a Monday.
You're listening to Raider Nation Radio 920 AM. Now, back to your host, Vinny Bonsignore.
They just continue to, you know, take charge. Obviously, there was a very formidable opponent in the D-line, but they was able to wear them down for four quarters, and we were able to just kind of, you know, just run behind them and be relentless in that attack. And then you saw, like, they was trying to commit 9-10 people to the box, and we were able to play action, throw the ball over the top. So when you have an offense like that that's unpredictable, it just creates a lot of success for a lot of people.
That's Kenyon Drake, the Raiders' breakout running back the last couple of weeks. Boy, nobody's talking about how much money Kenyon Drake was paid anymore. His value has been absolutely validated, and I expect his role to continue to grow. You know, Josh Jacobs got hurt yesterday, and they didn't miss a beat. I think that at some point they're also going to find balance, provided both players stay healthy, Josh Jacobs and Kenyon Drake. They're going to create the kind of balance that they've been seeking this entire year, and when that does happen, the Raiders' offense has a chance to go to an even higher level. And I'll tell you this as well. Kenyon Drake was talking about the offensive line. You know, we get so caught up in the play calling, which has been stupendous these last couple of games. Greg Olsen, Derek Carr, they've been on point without question. We could talk about Foster Moreau doing his thing and you know, Carr obviously doing his thing, and Henry Ruggs, Darren Waller when he's been in there, Bryan Edwards, Hunter Renfrow, Jacobs, Drake, all those guys, they've all stepped up, and we could talk about it all we want. How, you know, is it less crazy on the sidelines? All of that stuff, and it's great radio talk, and it's all plays into it, but let's not forget that these last couple of weeks, the Raiders offensive line has played its best football of the year. And, you know, you go back a couple of weeks to when Tom Cable and Greg Olsen, the offensive coordinator, decided, hey, probably time for a little bit of a change. The Raiders were getting eaten up on the interior of their offensive line. And they felt like, okay, moving Alex Leatherwood, the rookie who was not playing very well, let's be honest about it, at right tackle, had some flashes, had some moments, but just, you know, was playing like a rookie, for lack of a better term. But the Raiders felt like moving him inside, maybe slowing things down a little bit for him, but also providing an upgrade over what they had at right guard at that point, and then inserting Brandon Parker into the position at right tackle to replace Alex Leatherwood, they felt like, you know, maybe that'll help stabilize things, especially on the interior, and see what happens. Well, these last couple of weeks, this Raiders offensive line has played good, solid football, culminating yesterday with a sackless performance, or a performance in which, you know, Derek Carr didn't get sacked, rarely got touched, had plenty of time to do what he does, and the running backs had room to run. It all kind of started up front, as Kenyon Drake just pointed out, and we can't lose sight of the fact that things seem to have stabilized on the offensive line, and there's really no reason to think that it can't, you know, either stay at this level or continue to get better. We've already seen marked improvement from 2 weeks ago when this group of five was put together in its current fashion. We've seen progress being made the last 2 weeks. There's no reason to think that that can't continue pushing forward. Andre James had his best game of the year yesterday by far. So he's kind of coming into his own at center. And so if that happens, and if this offensive line truly is stabilized and now can push forward, along with, you know, getting healthier and Waller back and Jacobs back and forming that tandem in the backfield, again, this offense is actually moving up. It can get better. And that's not out of the realm whatsoever. But I give Tom Cable a ton of credit. I give the players a lot of credit. Alex Leatherwood, it's a little bruise to the ego when, you know, you're the 17th pick overall and you're going to be the right tackle for a decade to come. And all of a sudden, you know, four games into your rookie year, your coaches are telling you, we're going to move you to guard. Okay, am I doing something bad? Well, not, don't take it that way. I think you're going to be able to help more right now. At guard, it took a mature player to just roll with that. And, obviously at some point you got to do what your coaches say, but you also have to do it in the right frame of mind. Otherwise, it has no chance of working. Well, so far it has worked. And Brandon Parker, to his credit, he's had his ups and downs through the course of his career. Lincoln has talked about the inconsistencies or his inconsistency in terms of having a good performance one play and then not being very good the next. Well, so far, anyway, he's mitigated that inconsistency issue and is delivering more solid plays in between, some bad plays. He's not a perfect player by any stretch of the imagination, but it's becoming fewer and far between where there's more or way more bad plays than good plays. And all of a sudden, this offensive line is looking pretty darn good and had a really good performance yesterday. And also, when you're talking about the coaches, you got to give Colton Miller a lot of credit as well. All of a sudden, in the blink of an eye, Colton Miller went from the youngest player on that offensive line to the elder statesman. Part of it was due to some of the trades that the Raiders made to start the year or back in March, Gabe Jackson, Trent Brown, Rodney Hudson. And all of a sudden, this young guy, Colton Miller, who was drafted all of 4 years ago in 2018, becomes now the veteran player. And he saw what was going on. He was hearing the criticism. He understood, what his younger teammates to the right of him were kind of going through. He'd sort of been through it himself in 2018 when, shortly into his career, he was considered a bust, only to become one of the better left tackles in the NFL. We talked to Colton Miller last night about, just being the sounding board, being the voice of reason, the veteran in the room, while a young offensive line kind of struggled to get it together. Here's Colton.
Yeah, when that first switch happened, it was weird at first, and I mean there was a lot of weird things going on with the coach change. Really, we just doubled down, spent extra time after practice, and we're making huge strides with these young guys, and that's the biggest thing too as a young guy, just getting that experience in, and it's really helped so far.
That's Colton Miller talking about the experience, playing time. I do a mailbag for the Review Journal each week, and of course we take questions here at in the Huddle Raider Nation Radio or on Twitter, and people are always asking, when are they going to bench Andre James? When are they going to bench this guy? And I'm like, no, you can't. If you have a plan, you got to stick to the plan. It wasn't dire straits. They were struggling. They were young players who were getting their first opportunity to start in the NFL. You can't expect that to be perfect right out of the gate. And the plan was to stick to the plan and let those guys develop. And so now, for at least one game or a couple of games now, that patience and that diligence to stick to the plan is starting to pay off. And we have to get past sometimes this goes for everything in life. But just the rapid manner in which we make jump statements and want to switch course and move in a different direction, and you're never going to get anywhere if you don't have the patience to let things play out a little bit and develop, especially along the offensive line. Good on Colton Miller, good on Tom Cable, good on all those young players who are sticking with it in spite of a whole bunch of criticism and getting better by the week. And if they can continue to get better, it really shapes up well for the Raiders. Want to say thanks to Sam Gordon, our great colleague over at the Review Journal. Thanks to Damon Cotton for holding things down here at home base. Want to say thanks to all the callers. Thank you guys for bringing it as usual. Tomorrow we'll be back at it. Raider Nation Radio, 9:20 a.m. 4 o'clock tomorrow, Lincoln Kennedy will be joining us to talk about the Raiders' big win on Sunday, and then the process of dealing with a bye week. Right when you're hitting your stride, being able to kind of unplug for a second, but not unplug too much that you lose all that momentum. So Lincoln will be joining us tomorrow for the rest, or not the rest of the week, but through Thursday. That'll be tomorrow, 4 p.m. to 6 p.m. in the Huddle. Vinny Bonsignore and Lincoln Kennedy tomorrow, brought to you by Tequila and Baja Dor. See you guys then. Hey guys, it's Vinny B. Raider Nation in the Huddle is all about giving our fans the best opportunities in life. TAT is a new product that allows smokers to enjoy the sensations of smoking with zero tobacco and zero nicotine content. Finally, a cigarette you could feel good about, similar to Raider Nation rituals of winning championships. TAT offers the beyond nicotine experience with its beyond tobacco-based material in taste, smell, touch, sight, and sound without nicotine or tobacco.
Tat offers a better option to completely remove nicotine intake without compromising the smoking experience. Tat, Beyond Tobacco. Raider Nation, get your free pack of Tat today at TriTat.com.